out online at katazoom.com. That's KATAZoom.com.
Covering the upstate with a split back formation. 105.5, 97.5, and AM 1560. We are the Roar.
Hour number three, friends at Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning, Zero Res Residue, Zero Contact right now. Wearing gloves, masks, shoe covers, disinfecting equipment between every job. It's our great friends at Zero Res, practicing social distancing. Get in touch with them at Zero Res and ZeroResGreenville.com. 558-7300. $129 right now. Complimentary cleaning of common touch surfaces. Make sure your home, make sure your office, make sure it's clean at Zero Res and ZeroResGreenville.com. Hour three, we talked about Barrett Carter committed to Clemson last night over Georgia and Auburn and Florida State, the number two outside linebacker in the country, number 37 overall player in the country, according to Rivals.com. Continues a line of players leaving the Peach State and coming to Clemson. The big part for we talked about Brent Venables and what the linebacker crew looks like in this show. If you missed hour number two, check that out early. We got into Dan Walken from USA Today, who's agreed to come on the show. We'll try to get him on either tomorrow or one day next week. I don't want to have ruin Legends Friday with Dan Woken on, but I'm going to be respectful for him. I just completely disagree with having to unionize or really any of his takes, any of his articles lately about the doom and gloom that he puts out there. We're going to try to, we might light a candle next week, man. Who knows? We might talk the guy off the ledge next week or tomorrow if he comes on. NFL has shelved their draft rule, their Rooney rule of drafting, which it would move up in case they hired a minority coach or general manager. They didn't think it was a good idea, as we agreed with that on Monday. Later in this hour, I'll tell you about what Horace Grant, how he ripped Michael Jordan. Also preview tonight's NASCAR race in Darlington, which moved up from 7:30 to 6 o'clock. So that's good news that we're still going to get it in, hopefully, despite rain coming through this part of the country. Yesterday, we found out some things from South Carolina, as Will Muschamp had a or was on, I think he's on the Columbia radio station. He talked about several things there, including injuries. Quarterback Colin Hill and tight end Nick Muse both had ACL surgeries, and offensive tackle Dylan Wanham had hip surgery after the season, and tight end Hakeem Bell, three-star from Georgia, had also a torn ACL. He said, quote, Bell sends me video every day, and he looks great. You call and ask, are you doing everything, doing all your stuff? He looks explosive. He's quick out of cuts. He looks like he's a combo guy for us. He said last month that Muse posted a video. Muse is another guy who have slowed down through the training process. Him and his brother, they go push cars and do fun stuff like that, running around. He said Dylan Wadham's doing great. He's worked with a trainer in Atlanta right now, moving around extremely well and expected to be back at full speed. And he said that Mike Bobo talked to Colin, the quarterback, Colin Hill, the transfer in, who's doing some work under center and getting to throw some at Dorman back in his hometown, back in Spartanburg. So from an injury standpoint, pretty good news for South Carolina there. The second part of it is that Will Muschamp says he's been given three dates to look at as far as bringing players back, three possible dates, June the 1st, June the 15th, or July the 1st. Get John's thoughts on that coming up here in a second. And then finally, news out of Columbia yesterday that the University of South Carolina announced that several high-profile employees are taking voluntary pay cuts. Well, first of all, I wouldn't say it'd be voluntary. They probably didn't say, hey, by the way, can you cut my pay? Probably like they were asked to take voluntary pay cuts. So
does this chip into the buyout? How does this affect the buyout situation for Will Muschamp?
I didn't think about it very good. The president, Bob Caslin, athletic director, Ray Tanner, head football coach, Will Muschamp, men's basketball coach, Frank Martin, women's basketball coach, Dawn Staley, they've agreed to take reduction in salaries. Each of those expected to save the university $1.2 million. Each administrator and coach is taking a 10% pay cut for this coming academic year. The president says the global crisis will continue to have significant impact on the university, and I applaud our university officials and coaches for their willingness to personally contribute to our institution's financial health. Muschamp was scheduled to make $4.4 million, and after taking the reduced salary, was previously under contract for $4.6 million before that, but was scheduled to make $4.4 million. As Marley didn't like that too much there. He said it's the right thing to do. Quote, it's the right thing to do. It's what's best for our institution and what's best for our state. I know what we're going through. Hopefully it's not going to be as bad as we think it's going to be, but financial crisis here on campus, not just the athletic department, but the entire university and our state, it's the right thing to do. Martin was to make a little more than $3 million, or made a little more than $3 million last year. And Staley, according to the report, was about $1.6 million. And Tanner makes $1 million. So pretty big cuts there. 10% of a lot's a lot. That's one thing I learned. John, you and I could take a 10% pay cut. Wouldn't mean money a whole lot to anybody. But $1.6, $3 million, $4.4, $4.6 million, those are significant numbers out there. And it's going to save the university about $1.2 million when it's all said and done. Your thoughts on voluntary pay cuts that these people are making?
I think that if I'm sure there was conversations with them and the board and the financial people at the University of South Carolina, and it, you know, probably just it's probably what's necessary. I'm sure you can say voluntary to spin it, but and if it is voluntary, then my hat's off to them for willing to do what it takes to help out the university and you know, doing what they have to do right now. Basically, you know, I think about it, and then, you know, but like I said, if it is voluntary, then hats off to those coaches for willing to do so.
Yep. Good job. Nice job on that. On the June 1st, July 15th, or I'm sorry, June 1st, June 15th, or July 1st date?
I think that's kind of what we're seeing everywhere right now. Everyone's hoping for June 1st, and then, you know, you're putting in contingency plans if those things don't happen. Because, I mean, as we've learned throughout this whole pandemic, everything's fluid, everything is constantly changing. So to have multiple options in place, I think, is a very smart move by them.
I like that as well. Switching gears, did you see where Horace Grant ripped Michael Jordan?
I've seen that it happened. I've seen a couple of individual quotes, but I haven't seen all of it in its entirety. But I understand that he is not happy with number 23.
Former Chicago Bull and former Clemson Tiger, Horace Grant, has fired back at claims that Michael Jordan made during the Last Dance commentary on ESPN. In a radio interview with Cap & Company on ESPN 1000 in Chicago on Tuesday, Grant said, quote, it's downright, outright, completely a lie, unquote. And it said that he leaked information to Stan Smith's famous book, The Jordan Rules, in which Jordan alleged in the documentary. Horace Grant said during the interview, quote, lie, lie, lie. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it. And let's talk about it, or we can sell it another way. Ooh. But yet and still, he goes out and puts out this lie that I was the source behind the book. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of the locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact that Sam Smith was an investigative reporter, that he had to have two sources, two, to write a book. I guess, why would MJ point me out? It's only a grudge, man. I'm telling you, it's only a grudge. And I think that he proved that during the so-called documentary, when if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. If you're going to try to destroy, he's going to try to destroy you and your character. Jordan, as you know, played with Grant, three NBA titles, 91 to 93. Grant left, went to Orlando there. Grant went on to say, Charles Barkley, they've been friends for 20 to 30 years, and he said something about Michael's management with the Bobcats or the Hornets, and then they haven't spoken since then. And that's my point, is that he said I was a snitch, but yet still, after 35 years, he brings up the rookie year, going in after one of my teammates, the rooms, and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why the hell did he want to bring that up? That's something that didn't have to do with anything. I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, then that's the damn snitch right there. Ooh, saying that Jordan was a little hypocritical. Makes sense. They went on the locker room, went on behind the scenes, and Jordan kind of talked about it. Grant went on to say, I would say that it was entertaining, talking about the Last Dance, but we know there's a lot of teammates, and that was about 90% of it. I don't know if you can say it on the air, but that's BS in terms of the realness of it. It wasn't real because a lot of things Jordan said to some of his teammates and that his teammates went back at him. But all that kind of got edited out during the documentary, if you want to call it a documentary. He went on to talk about the storylines of the documentary centered on Jordan's bullying of his teammates. Grant said Jordan's behavior sometimes crossed the line. He said, quote, he felt that he could dominate me, but he was sadly mistaken because whenever he went at me, I went right back at him. But in the terms of Will Perdue or Steve Kerr, the young man, Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking to watch. You see a guy, a leader, to go at those guys. I understand those terms of practicing, but he had to push and shove and to get out there. But outright punching someone, that's out of their nature. And calling them B's and H's, that was uncalled for, he said. In a separate interview in a radio station in San Francisco, Smith related a story that Jordan talked to him about a fight that not to serve Grant food on a plane after he had a bad game. I didn't hear this. Grant said Tuesday that the story was true, that after a game that Horace didn't play good, MJ told him not to serve him food. He says, quote, anybody who knows me as a rookie, if anybody comes up and tries to snatch food away from me, I'm going to do my best to beat their butt. And believe me, back then, I could have taken MJ in a heartbeat. Yeah, it's true that he told the flight attendant, well, don't give him anything because he played like crap. And I went right back at him. I said some choice words I won't repeat on here, but I said some choice words and I stood up to him. If you want it, come get it. And of course, he didn't move. He was just barking. But that was the story. But anybody who knows me and where I come from, what I stand for, come on, man. There's nobody on earth that would ever come to try to take food off my plate and not get their rear ends beaten. Grant adds in a separate Zoom call that he did with Bet Online AG on Monday that former Bulls Ron Harper, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges also participated on. He said, quote, let's be clear, something up there about food, and he tried to take food, I would have beaten the guy's butt. Guys come back for it, but he would have got his butt whipped. It wouldn't be no six championships, I guarantee you that. He goes on to say, let's see here. The crazy thing is that last time he spoke to Jordan was about 3 years ago in a series of text messages about golf. Grant said that he would not be respectful towards each other if they saw each other, but it was concerned about the relationship and how it runs its course. Grant said, quote, the crazy thing for one of my charities, he sent me an autographed pair of shoes. I don't understand it. If he had some differences with me, he could have texted me, he could have called me, the whole nine yards. But if I see him today, he would hopefully pay our respects to each other, because we went through three championships together. But if not, believe me, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Grant also defended Scottie Pippen, who's not spoken publicly since the documentary began. He said, quote, I have never seen a, quote, unquote, number two guy as decorated as Scottie Pippen portrayed so badly. He says, in terms of the migraine, in terms of the 1.87 seconds, Jordan calling him selfish, I would have never seen that. We've never seen this the whole of my life. Pitt was out there in game six, could barely walk, getting knocked up and down off his back, tried to do everything he could for the team. My point is that 1.8 seconds in the documentary, so-called documentary, was about Pitt. He goes, MJ wasn't even on the team. Why was he there? We were handled that year really well. Pip knows that he was wrong for doing it. Cartwright stood up, said something. It was over. We go on, take the Knicks in seven. It was over. Why bring that up? Doesn't sound like that Horace Grant was a big Michael Jordan fan through a lot of this. And he called it the so-called documentary. One person basically had the last word throughout, he said. He said, that's not a documentary. It's a whole bunch of things that were edited out, called out. So that's why I was called out. That's why I called it a so-called documentary, he said.
Mm. You know what we need to do? This winter, with Clemson and North Carolina get together on the hardwood, as much as I enjoyed the Red Panda halftime show, let's put in a boxing ring in the middle of the court, and let's let Jordan and Horace Grant settle their differences.
Let's let North Carolina try to get revenge on Clemson in basketball.
Mm.
Ouch.
Well, I mean, you know, you finally give up one. Here come the floodgates. Here come the Tigers.
I think this, on a serious note, it did. I thought it covered up a lot that it, and it could have gone into. Covered up a lot. Jordan, were you, by the way, have you seen the last two episodes yet, John?
I have not. Need to.
Have you? Were you comfortable with how he treated Scott Burrell?
No.
I mean, he was abusive to Scott Burrell.
He's abusive to a lot of people.
I get it. I get what he was trying to do, and I get that he won, and I get he's a great player, and I like him more now than that, but it's still not. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're trying to obtain. You don't treat people, say to people what you said to Scott Burrell.
Yeah.
Scott Burrell didn't deserve that. The other thing is the strangeness of Jordan. Did we go over the pizza stuff yesterday?
No.
I don't know if we talked about it or not. In the flu game.
Mm-hmm. You mean the food poisoning game?
Yeah, it's a food poisoning game. That Jordan got mad. You know, he was with his bodyguard, his security people, and he's with his best friend, the chauffeur, and his trainer. And they're in Utah. And after practice, coming back, whatever, I don't know if Jordan was gambling or going out, whatever he was going to be. Anyway, they went to dinner without him. He found out about it, was still hungry. They found him a pizza place still open at 10 o'clock, 10:30, orders a pizza. And in order for them not to eat any of the pizza, he spit on the pizza. They also said it wasn't the only time that he spit on food in order for nobody else to eat it. There was a story of him with a cinnamon bun that he didn't want anybody eating. So he spit on the cinnamon bun. It's like, there's some strange stuff in there, man. I was a little bit disappointed in the Last Dance that while they did tell part of Pippen's story, they did tell part of Steve Kerr's story, they did tell part of Paxson's story, part of a Bill Cartwright story, that and part of Phil Jackson too, and a lot of Dennis Rodman. I thought it's too much Jordan in it. And interestingly enough, that Jordan later in his career was much more about getting everybody else involved, and much more about being a facilitator, and much more about getting the best out of everybody. But I don't think the documentary got the best out of everybody. I mean, I think the Pippen thing was really, really, really important. And I don't think they spent enough time on it. Maybe, I don't know.
Only had 10 hours, Mickey. I mean, you know.
I mean, Reinsdorf was a fascinating man. Krause, fascinating man. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. Jordan's the guy. But I thought it was a Michael Jordan documentary, not a Chicago Bulls Last Dance documentary. It's just weird seeing it. Texter says on our health care text line 986-1566, not to Scott Burrell, it's everyone. He was on everyone on the court all the time. Yeah, he was. And I don't know, did he punch? Was it Paxson or Kerr that he punched? I think it might have been Kerr.
I think it was Kerr.
He was, and there's examples of it getting on everybody at any point in time. But always calling Scott Burrell the B word all the time, getting on him. And it seemed like Burrell's like a good guy, it seemed like. Quiet guy. And he don't stand up to that. I don't know, man. It just rubbed me the wrong way through some of it. It's not as simple as was Jordan. Jordan's not a good guy, let's face it. I've said that many years on. He's not a good guy. He won. He won. He got what he did, what he wanted. But do you have to win that way, John? I don't know if you have to win that way or not.
I don't know if you have to. But it worked. It was effective, but I don't know if you have to.
Leads me back to the Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin story. Well, I'll tell it on the air again. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Short break. Much more on the other side right after this.
Hey guys, summer is here, the gyms are open, the beach is open, and the world is getting back to normal again. It's time to get off that couch and get moving again. If you've got no energy, no drive, and have gained a few pant sizes in the last few months, come see us today at Low Country Male. For just $200 a month, we take care of all your testosterone, labs, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and your prescription management needs. It's time to get back to work and get back to making men and America great again. Come see us today in Greenville off Pelham Road, lowcountrymale.com.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
It's time to stop the debt collectors. It's time to get a fresh start. It's time to stop the foreclosures. Tax time is coming up. Time to do something for yourself. Time to get your fresh start. Come see Robert King for help.
Call Robert King at 864-222-0200 or visit his website at www.thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency. Robert King helps people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
If you're opening a new business or your current business needs updated branding, call the pros at Electric City Signs to make your brand come to life. They take care of the entire design process from logo to install, channel letters, road signs, LED message centers. They do it all. Serving upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina, and northeast Georgia businesses. Remember, a business with no sign is a sign of no business. Mention this ad to receive a 5% discount. 864-225-5351. Go Tigers!
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we're here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley invites you to stop by and check out all the new Yokohama G-Lander and Advan Series tires. From May 15th to July 5th, buy a set of four select Yokohama G-Lander or Advan tires and you could receive up to a $70 Visa prepaid card or Visa virtual account. Call Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley at 859-1361 or see them online at stscnow.com. Yokohama G-Lander or Advan Series tires from Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley.
The flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are the Roar.
Woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. Found my mind in a brown paper bag again.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My friends at Katichi say that bring a rowboat down, come down and play today. take the bass boat over from Lake Hartwell over there and play today. On a serious note, in beautiful Hartwell, Georgia is a great place. The food, I've been getting some food reviews and on their social media talking about some food reviews, and it's going great over there with reopening to their members. If you're not a member, they got takeout service still, and I mean the food is fantastic. I want to encourage you to think about membership there. And out-of-town memberships, the corporate memberships they have, there's some membership deals going on. They are rocking and rolling over there now. It's a treat to get to go over. And, John, I keep telling you that Mr. Orr 24 never went over with me, but you and I are going to go. And we're going to head over and play and have a great time over at Katichi, CATEECHEE.com. Continue to hear from folks and getting great reviews from people, from listeners that either go for the first time or haven't been in a while that are going now. So it's our great friends over at Katiche, CATEECHEE.com. The question I asked during the break was, do you have to be miserable in winning? And Dabo has taught us here that that's not the case. You can actually enjoy winning. And I want to just share a couple stories with you. One is the Dan Patrick interview that I've talked about on the air before, the Dan Patrick interview with Lane Kiffin. When Clemson beat Alabama, and I don't know if it was the first Clemson win or the second Clemson win, the Sean Watson win.
It was the first one because, if you remember, Nick Saban removed him of his offensive coordinator duties in between the semifinal and the championship game. And he was on with Dan Patrick shortly after the championship.
Okay.
Or after that was over. He had just taken the Florida Atlantic job, I believe.
Okay. After it was over, he was asked, what is it like? This is the next day. What's it like in Tuscaloosa today? And he goes, well, I'll tell you this. He said, there will be an 8 o'clock meeting this morning, and you better be there at 7:30. And Dan Patrick's next line of questioning was, is, I guess the way Nick Saban runs his program, I guess that's how you do it, that you have to do it that way in order if you want to win. And he and Lane Kiffin, to his credit, stood up and goes, no. He said, I won national championships, Pac-12 championships, Rose Bowls with Pete Carroll at Southern Cal. And he said, I loved every single moment I was there. And at this point in time, I've got to go back and look at it. I think that Lane Kiffin says this. He says, I was there for 2 years. I think he was there for 2 years with Saban. And he said that was 29 football games, because it wasn't the 30th one there. He goes, 29 football games. And he goes, I enjoyed 29 days. But the other 700 days there were miserable. And I'll just ask you this, John. What is the point in doing it if it has to be miserable?
To me personally, there isn't one. I think life's too short to be miserable all the time.
There are different ways to do it. Saban's not wrong for doing it that way. Michael Jordan's not wrong for doing it that way.
Their records speak for themselves. Nick Saban's trophy case speaks for itself.
Right. But if you can't enjoy it, I'm not sure I want to be a part of that. And I will tell you this. This is the second phase of me and following Clemson football. In the first phase, well, I shouldn't say second. It's probably more than that. There's four or five in there. But in the successful years, at least. You know, when I went to games as a kid, my mom made a statement one time in 1980 when Clemson lost to Duke and Steve Spurrier's offensive coordinator, my mom said, man, that was fun watching Duke play football. And I said, the other thing she said was that, you know, we got through those winning years in there, and it was like we took it for granted. She said, I remember when it was great to win, and like it was bad to lose, but it was better to win. My mom said this in 1980. You know, Clemson went through the 77 and 78 years where it was great, and finished in the top 10 and beat Georgia and beat Ohio State and won the Gator Bowl and then finished in the top 10. And it was great. But she said, you know, it's like then you're expected to win. I said, I remember the years where winning was really fun. And it was, I'll never forget, I was 12 years old and she's telling me this. And I didn't realize it at the time. I realize it now. I'm older. Like, you know what? She was right. And my formative years of watching Clemson football when Coach Ford was there is that Clemson would go 10-2, go 12-0 one year, but 10-2 or 9-1-1. And it's like you're expected to beat everybody to the point where it wasn't even fun winning. It was like when you're losing, it was a big, big, big deal. And like the losing hurt more than winning. We heard like Arnold Palmer said, I've heard other people say that. It's like the fear of losing was much, much worse than winning. And so winning felt good. So, and I get it. But what Dabo Swinney has done, I didn't enjoy the wins during those 4 years. It was like, you know, we survived. It was like, don't lose. And we didn't lose.
It was what was supposed to happen. It was expected.
Right.
You can finally enjoy it, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I'm sitting in the stadium a few years ago, it was a cold, cold Thursday night game against Georgia Tech. Like either raining cold or just cold. And the last Georgia Tech home game, or maybe the one before the last, where it poured rain. Remember that one? It was pouring rain. Mary and I and one of her friends went to this game, and like we had a blast. We didn't tailgate. We pulled up there about 30 minutes before the game and just went in and had all these ponchos and rain suits on. Man, we were yipping it up, and Clemson destroyed them, and it's like, man, this is so fun. And I made this decision, like, that Dabo, when we win, we're going to dance. It's like, this is fun, man. This whole thing's been fun. And I'm not miserable after losses now. If you notice this, Clemson lost the national championship game last year. Have you noticed that Dabo rarely talks about that game?
Yeah.
They rarely bring up that game, rarely bring up the negative parts of it. Rarely talk about that. Moving on, next one, let's go, let's see.
I'm sure they've discussed it plenty internally. But
sure, from, absolutely.
But from a public perspective, yeah.
Right. They don't dwell on that, man. It's like, right. Let's get on and we're going to win and try to go back and do it again.
Yep.
It's
unlike
it's refreshing
that coach in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, yeah.
Stupid point is, officials.
Yeah. But the point is like, let's just enjoy the winning, too.
Yep.
It didn't have to be so result-oriented that I'm going to make myself miserable doing it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, nothing drives me crazier than, you know, a Clemson fan will be like, we only beat Wake Forest by 40. What?
Yeah.
You won the game. Who? Outside of that, what more does it matter?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, then I don't want every game to be like the North Carolina game, but...
But that's what it had gotten to is, oh, you didn't play. Remember that? Remember talking about Clemson actually lost the game. They won the game on the scoreboard, but they lost the game.
Yeah, we spent 2 months trying to remind everybody that Clemson, in fact, did win that football game.
Yeah. Dabo's been this I don't know. It seemed like at a time I just needed that, man. Just needed it. I needed that light. I needed something to make you just appreciate what you got instead of worried about what you don't have. Appreciate a win that you have instead of worried about a loss that you didn't accomplish that day. And there's been so few losses. But even in the losses, man, like you turn this thing into a positive. You get the snot beat out of you down by West Virginia. What'd you do? You hire Brent Venables, and now you look what happened. You lose 5-0 to South Carolina. What do? You fueled yourself to go get better and win two national championships.
And now 6 in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it's like even the losses, he turns away to turn to a positive somehow, some way.
I mean, look at that Pittsburgh game. The Pittsburgh loss when it was, you know, it could have been very easy for Dabo coming and been like, well, there goes the perfect season.
Yep.
Deshaun's out the door. Bolwer's out the door. What's the point? Perfect season's gone.
Yeah.
No. Rallied and got back to work and took a positive spin on things and figured out how to stop the shovel pass, and everything worked out.
Jet sweep. Mm. You lose to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. It opens your eyes that maybe you need a downfield passing game. Trevor Lawrence comes in, wins the national championship as a freshman. Even the losses, man, the guy finds a way to turn it into some sort of positive, and they move on with it. Now, Jordan's not wrong. Way Jordan did it, that was his way he did it, and he got it accomplished, got it done. But did you notice through all those, every single year you talked about how exhausted he was, you notice that at the end of one or two of those, he's like, it wasn't even fun, like he wasn't even enjoying it anymore? What's the point, man? What's the point? Let's go enjoy, not just the spoils, but let's enjoy that process too. It's fun doing it. You know how fun it is now to be a Clemson fan to walk into a stadium in which, oh, it's Thursday night, it's against Duke, it's against Wake Forest, and oh, this is a house of horrors on a Thursday night against Georgia Tech. Oh, this is going to be bad. No, we're going to have a good time, win a game, come on home. And have a good time. LSU's like that a little bit. There's a big difference in LSU and Alabama. I talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
LSU, they're going to have a party no matter what. Have a hurricane, let's have a party. You know? But in the end, Alabama's not that way. Alabama got to be like Kiffin talked about. Like, you're miserable going through it and trying to achieve that goal, trying to achieve that result. rather than enjoying the journey. It's been a lot of fun, man. Dabo has really changed the way we think about everything around here.
It really has.
And authentically changed it.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty incredible when you sit back and look at it over the last decade plus.
I told you I saw him on Sunday, I think it was.
Yeah, when Renfroe and his son were running their mouths at him.
Yeah.
Who won, by the way? Did you find out?
No, I still haven't found out. I need to text him on it. Mm. I never got it. But the guy's like rounding the corner. He's like, hey! What's up, man? How you doing? I'm going out here. Renfroe. Me and Will and Renfroe have been talking a lot of trash down here, so I'm going to take care of this. Like, guy's spreading joy in a little golf match. It's not like, oh, man, I got to go play this match so I can win this match. No, it's like, go down and have some joy in the thing, man, you know? I'm going to raise some money for some charities. You know, we'll do it with a little joy. We're going to bring some players back on campus. You know, we're going to do a little joy. We're going to bring in some recruits, official visits. You know how many phone calls I've taken in my life, John? When I had a recruiting service on this radio show for 21 years of, oh, we didn't get this guy. What are we going to do? This guy chose the other school. What are we going to do? We know what Dabo says? Yeah, we're going to get somebody else. That's fine.
I mean, how much sleep do you think he lost over Corey Foreman?
None. You know why? They'll get somebody else.
Somebody who wants it more.
Lost Cordarian Richardson. Yeah, we're going to get Travis Etienne.
Still my all-time favorite.
It's unbelievable, man.
Oh, no, the guy who, the four-string running back at A&M. What are we going to do? Oh, we'll just skip arguably the greatest rusher in school history.
Chandler Cannizzaro graduates. What are we going to do? Yeah, we're going to get some stock boy from Publix who's stocking grocery store shelves and turn him into Greg the Leg Hugel and let him win games for you.
Hey, as you've seen in this state, we've got a 50% success rate of taking Publix bag boys and putting them on a football team.
This guy always works out, man. It's like, we'll be all right. Lost national championship game. Well, we'll be all right. We'll go win one next year. And they did.
I mean,
lost in the semifinals. Yeah,
I saw some of the clips from his postgame presser this year, and it's just not of what a loss, all that. Just it's so devastating. But it was what a team, what a season, yeah. What a decade.
Yeah,
can't wait for the next decade.
That's who he is, man. And again, I'm not saying Jordan's wrong. I'm not saying Saban's wrong. But what I am saying is, thank goodness I'm not miserable in what we're doing here now and how we're winning here now. Thank goodness that we have fun and we enjoy it and there's joy rather than the sacrifice and the misery. You know, I mean, people go through life, John, of it's all about the hard work. It's all about the sacrifice. You got to just make yourself miserable in doing it rather than I told you to read this Deepak Chopra talks about life is to be lived with effortless ease. I don't want to get too Eastern thought on you here, but man, birds don't try to fly. They just fly, you know, just fly.
Like, what a line.
Grass doesn't try to grow. It just grows. You know, we don't have to sacrifice that grass. It's like taking the nutrients, push up through the weeds, fight through the pesticides and the herbicides, and let's get the fertilizer in here and let's try to grow. No, we'll just grow, man. We'll just grow. We'll just enjoy the sun, and it's going to pour rain today. Yeah, we'll enjoy the nutrients of being getting our thirst, and we'll just kind of grow a little bit. It's a windy day. The bird's going to flap and through. And we're just kind of flying, kind of soar and spread our wings, kind of enjoy the view up here, you know? Let's just enjoy it, man. It doesn't have to be hard. Yeah. I went there a while ago during the break, right? I went during the break. Drake's in there running around. He's like, da-da. He's like, hey, got a golf club in there and running around. I got a ball. I'm going to throw it around. Like, you know, he's not trying to say, oh, I got to swing this golf club right now, man. I got to throw this ball. My dad's going to try to give me a hug and a kiss, and now I got to fight through this one. No, he just kind of blissfully gone. Let that happen. He's kind of enjoying it. We don't have to spit on a pizza. It's supposed to eat a pizza. Eat the pizza.
I'm pretty sure Jordan could afford a second pizza.
Yeah, get a second pizza. We don't have to spit on the pizza. We'll take a short break, man. Come back. Final segment of a Goofy Wednesday show right after this.
I'm a Dodger fan.
I'm a GameCop fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in
Technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience, not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
Metal Depot's formerly Metal Building Supply would like to remind you that during this time of change and new normal, we're still here to help and serve. Metal Depot's is your leading supplier of metal buildings, along with roof and wall components, with superior quality and competitive prices. Call or stop by to speak to one of our material specialists at 864-295-0506. We are located at 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Let's face it, credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I order takeout, use my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. The process is all online. You never have to leave the house. And you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Apply today at lightstream.com/discount and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/discount for an additional discount. lightstream.com/discount.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/discount for more information.
All sports, all the time, from the Roar, 105.5 in Greenville and Anderson, 97.5 and AM 1560 in Spartanburg.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Hey, John Hyde, give me your dad's line about crazy.
Everyone's crazy but you and me, and I'm beginning to wonder about you.
I love that. Am I? Maybe I'm crazy, dude. Maybe I'm the one that's crazy. Maybe I'm just the one that's just lost it. But everything around me seems to be going bonkers and crazy. Dan Wolken, he didn't get back with us about coming on the show, did he?
Not yet. I will continue to keep talking with Dan. Hopefully we can get him on sometime soon.
I'll tell him I would be respectful. I will not ambush. It's not an ambush. I just like to know there are really people like you in this world that thinks everything is bad.
This is not an ambush, but I just want to know why are you the way that you are as a person? How do you get out of bed every morning?
How do you look yourself in the mirror knowing that you're that negative and this whole world's just gonna Hey, Ashley, you didn't watch The Joker this week then, right?
No, I have not. I still want to see it, but I know it's not your cup of tea. Then again, you also won't watch Remember the Titans or Big Lebowski.
I'll watch Remember the Titans because it's not as dark, but this thing's just too dark for me, man. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
Can't do it. Hey, I have an interesting Brad Hughes extra forgiveness award. I'm a good hands of Brad Hughes. I'm a good hands of Allstate. I call him at 292-3001. I can email him Brad Hughes at allstate.com. I can get touch with him at bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks, my friend Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. People, Brad gets in touch with he did earlier. By the way, first of all, I got a deposit back in my account from Allstate yesterday. I told you they're giving back $600 million. And I got back all $600 million yesterday. No. But I got back a big chunk yesterday as a result of that. Brad sent me a text earlier. He goes, two kinds of people, they kind of brighten up the room when they walk in or brighten up the leave when they walk out. And Brad's one of those that, man, when I see him, he calls, he texts, can't wait. My friend Dave said, by the way, The Joker sucked is what he said. It sucked. It's a terrible movie, terrible movie. So anyway. My Brad is asking for the forgiveness award. I'll forgive Jordan and I'll forgive Saban. But they have won and they are legends and they will be Hall of Famers. But as a texter said here on our health care text on 986-1566, he said, it's all about people. Dabo knows that Jordan's a lonely man. He has all those championships in the end and they don't mean as much as the people you impact along the way, in his opinion. That's an interesting text. You know what's crazy, John? Again, I'm not saying... I prefer the Dabo way. Others prefer the Jordan way. Some people prefer the Saban way. I prefer the Dabo way. When Nick Saban gets into the Hall of Fame, goes to by the Hall of Fame, whatever, can you imagine what that's going to be like? Like, who do you call saying, hey, man, I want you to give my speech to induct me. I want you to introduce me. Like, who's he going to call? Like, what does he do there? You know, one of the most interesting things about the whole Jordan deal is that him talking about his teammates and, like, where they are now and how they are now. Did you notice that, John, that, like, they don't hang out?
No.
They don't stay in touch. He told you, Horace Grant said I hadn't seen the guy.
Horace Grant's trying to fight him next time they see each other.
Yeah. But he said that I heard from him 3 years ago. Did you get a chance to watch the video I asked you to watch about the Dabo 10-year reunion where everybody comes back?
Mm-hmm. That was great.
I've been with Dabo Swinney before. Okay, here's the story we told this in the past week about Dabo. Hunter Renfro comes back and wants to play golf with the guy, right? I saw Shaq Lawson posted something about Dabo the other day, said, the greatest coach in the country. I've been with Dabo before where it's a former player FaceTiming it. Want to say, hey, coach, I got some good news. I want to tell you about it. Or whatever. Like, hey, I hadn't heard from you, whatever. And his phone's always going off. And his former players and his former guys he used to coach with always calling him, always wanting to speak with him, always wanting to get in touch with him. I text him very rarely, but when I do, it's like, man, I don't want to bother the guy because he gets so many texts. But whenever I do send it to him, it's like, man, can't wait to get when the guy to hear back from him. And you hear back from him. It's like, can't wait to hear back from the guy. Former players, former coaches, former trainers, former managers, former teammates. How about this? How about you saw the video of Dabo when he went back to Alabama? Remember that? Everybody's go, well, Clemson has a game next week. You shouldn't be down there. That's the enemy. We're going to be playing Alabama. He goes down there. What do they do? They're all like hugging him all over the guy. He was a walk-on. He wasn't a very good player down there. He's the most famous guy of the group. And all of his former teammates can't wait to be around the guy. Calling him up all the time, texting him all the time, emailing him all the time. And yet, I watch this Jordan thing, man. I got this feeling like this guy. Now, don't get me wrong. He's got more friends at the club. He's got more friends at the strip joint. But isn't it crazy that Michael Jordan's best friends in the world was his former chauffeur and his security guards? I think that's great in a way, in that, hey, the little guy, you know? I always want to be friends with the little guy, because I'm a little guy myself, I guess. But I want to be friends with the little guy. And that's great that Jordan lowers himself to that. But in a way, isn't it weird that, like, he wasn't great friends with his teammates? You know, on Legends Friday.
Yeah, it was odd.
on Legends Friday, John, we always talk about this thing you know, these are the greatest years. Trevor Booker told the greatest years of my life, man. I think about me and Cliff Hammonds. Think about me and James Mays. Think about me and Casey Rivers. Like, these are my best friends. I mean, these guys I talk to all the time. All these former teammates all the time. Steve Fuller talked about it. Rodney Williams talked about it. Jim Riggs talked about it. Bill Spires talked about it. Brian Barnes and Jason Dawsey talked about it. Man, these are my best friends in the world. I still talk to these guys all the time. Can't wait to talk to these guys. And, like, Jordan, he didn't have that. His friends were the chauffeur and the security guards because he got on the guy so hard in practice. They didn't like him. Didn't want to go on trips with him. Wouldn't let people eat his food. Wouldn't let Horace Grant eat. Like, calling Scotty Burrell a B-word the whole time, all the time. Like, really? I mean, again, it's not wrong. He got it right. But I don't know, man. I'm going to choose to do it the other way. Choose to do it the other way. Speaking of the other way, Bulldog Burt checks in. My goodness gracious, Bert, what do we owe this honor that you would grace us with this morning? How are you?
Let's go golfing. Perfect weather for me to be competitive with.
Well, be careful what you wish for, Bert. Be careful what you wish for. It'd be Old Testament, I can tell you that. It'd be Old Testament. Anyway.
Some of the traditions that are going to disappear this year, I got to thinking about that. There's three at Clemson, and one of them I didn't even know existed till this week. Number one is rubbing the rock. That might not be this season.
Why not?
Another one is, well, spreading germs.
I would think they'd be okay with that. Okay.
Another one is fans coming on the field, which is your big tradition at Clemson. And a third one I didn't know existed until this week, leaving at halftime to go to tailgate parking lot and re-enter in the stadium.
Yeah,
I never
maybe
knew that existed.
Yeah, called pass outs. They've been doing it for 100 years here. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And Georgia's the same way. No more ringing the chapel bell. And no more rubbing the bulldog when they go onto the field, which is a recent tradition.
I'd say disinfect it. If you got, most of those players wear gloves on anyway, and if you got some hand sanitizer at the bottom, Clemson's going to rub the rock and run down the hill. I'll tell you that. Okay. They'll rub that.
They're going to put gloves
on? They already have gloves on. Most of them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And here's another one for Carolina. The chicken will not bust out of his box.
Why not?
Well, chicken, you know, spewing will be going everywhere.
The what will?
Chicken spewing, you know, where he, when it comes out of the box, you know, it will moisture spread through there. So.
Didn't know that, Bert. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Learn something every time I talk to you. Yeah, maybe. Is that what you got today, buddy?
That's it.
Boy, thanks for bringing the show down a little bit there. Thank you, Bert. Appreciate it. Have a great day, Bert.
I'm just mad that Bert had to bring up my favorite tradition in sports. You never know if it's going to be cocky. How can you just sit here and
say it's going to be cocky, though? It's going to be cocky.
But you don't know. But you don't know.
He's not in there.
You don't know.
But he's in there. Well, I was in a good mood there, too. What our Bert gracious with his wisdom.
He tried to take a shot. I just don't think it landed.
Nah, he doesn't. None of it lands. Just for the history standpoint, I'm nice to every caller on this air except for Bert. Because Bert tries to stir up things and he knows what he's doing, and I always give him enough rope to hang himself. So, no, Bert, we'll go ahead and touch the rock. Well, maybe not run on the field after the game, maybe. Might be right. Maybe not go at halftime. We'll still touch the rock, though. So, appreciate the screeching halt to the show. We finished things up.
How do we pick things up from here?
Yeah, we finished things up as we always do with our 2-minute drill.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the 2-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, Here's Mickey.
Mickey, my 2-minute drill today has nothing to do with sports. I just want to take this moment. I know she's listening to wish a happy birthday to my mom out there. Happy birthday, Mom. Look forward to celebrating this weekend.
How about that, man? I didn't know that. Many, many, many more. Happy birthday. Many, many, many more. I love our text now with Bert. So anyway, a couple things quickly here. My 2-minute drill brought to you by Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. For all of your real estate needs, it's EricNewton.com. Anything you need to hear in Clemson, he's going to take care of you. I got a text from Eric yesterday, and now that we are back and opening things back up again in the state, I'm having lunch with Eric Newton today. Can't wait to tell you about some exciting things going on in Eric Newton's business. Tell you much more about that tomorrow. Can't wait for sure. My other 2-minute drill is, I've been doing sports show now for 21 years here on the station. But tomorrow, we're going to do something we've never done before. Thursday NASCAR results. We have Wednesday night racing in Darlington, South Carolina. Now, they moved it up. It's going to be at 6 o'clock rather than 7:30. Fox Sports 1. But a points real live race, as long as weather's permitting, on a Wednesday night. They're racing four times in 11 days. I love it, man. Get it all in here. Let's talk about it. I can't wait. John, are you going to watch a little NASCAR tonight from Darlington again?
I'll be chipping in to watch the 24 car, William Byron, hoping to have better results than on Sunday.
Hopefully he does a good chance there. Harvick's trying to go for a little double dip. Two wins in 4 days there at Darlington. Hey, John, great job. Up next, two of my favorite people, Brad and Ben. Paul Shula joins us tomorrow talking about Barrett Carter. Folks, have an absolutely wonderful Wednesday.